Let's try that again. Good morning, everyone. And welcome to our service of worship for this morning. And a special welcome to those who are joining us on the live stream. It is a pleasure to welcome you to St. John's as well on this, the 22nd day of July. I guess that makes it the second Sunday after Pentecost, and it's for us Indigenous Peoples Sunday. So we welcome you to this morning's worship. Before we get started, everybody every now and then says, "Oh, it's so cool how to watch as you kind of use technology in worship." And then every now and then there's one of those Sundays. And this is one of those Sundays. So I'm praying technology will stay with me till the end of the worship service today. Because already this morning it has made me reinstall programs and re-log into the service. It wouldn't give me the service for the first little while. And it just did something interesting while I was sitting here waiting for Olivia to finish playing. So we may see exactly how well the minister remembers the service this morning without notes if everything doesn't work well. But just as so if you see me blanch white, that's why. But we'll pray that God will bless technology today. Announcements, as always, were before you as we were gathering this morning, and I hope you had the opportunity to make note of those which are of most importance to you. As well, the most important are in the bulletin for this week. Most important bulletin announcement is that the Welcome to Summer Supper is coming up next Sunday. Saturday evening. It will be a wonderful time, so I hope you have the opportunity to come. The deadline for tickets is tomorrow, which means you should talk to Trish today because she will be in the McClellan room, Trish, with tickets for the supper. So please plan to attend and make sure that you speak with Trish if you wish to do so. This morning in worship, amongst all of you who are we welcome, we special welcome Olivia Haramis. See, it's my fault. It's spelt wrong in the bulletin, and I said I couldn't figure out whether I just gave Rob the wrong information when I was writing it down, or if he did the transliteration of the letters. I think it was me. Haramis. Olivia is a native of Cornwall. She has just completed her master's in musical performance at McGill, and she is with us this morning because she has expressed an interest in being the music director here at St. John's. And so this is her big audition Sunday. So we're really pleased to have Olivia with us this morning. And we're also really pleased to have Brenda with us this morning because Brenda's doing the session summary.
Discussion took place regarding the selection of new elders. The process will begin in the fall. Trish Brown shared the progress for the summer supper. If you haven't purchased your tickets yet, please do so after the service. Kempo Barath agreed to continue to serve as Presbytery representative, and John Adams will remain as the alternate. Laurel Adams and Kempo Barath will investigate options to reduce the cost of our insurance. The bill has been steadily rising over the years and is now at $18,000 per year. Susan McDonald reported our neighbors to the east have planked stakes and hostas in an effort to prevent vehicles from parking on their property. The Mission and Outreach Committee will meet on June the 25th. If you are interested in becoming a part of the committee, please speak to Susan. Trish Brown reported on behalf of Faith and Nurture. We will celebrate our high school graduates next week. The committee is putting together activity bags for children who attend church during the summer months. These packages will be available at both doors. John Adams presented a list of names for session to consider for removal from the role. These people are encouraged to participate in the life of the church, and if they choose to return to active engagement, the door will always be open for them. Cynthia Sagan reported that two new trustees have been added to the group, Trish Brown and David Ferguson. A second easement has been granted to the city. This will run electrical under St. John's Lane. The city will take care of repaving the lane and some drainage. Michelle Alexis presented the music and worship report. We are pleased to welcome Olivia Hamaris to worship this morning. Olivia is a pianist and a vocalist from the Cornwall area. We are even more pleased to report that Olivia is interested in the position of music director here at St. John's. Thanks.
And as we come and worship this morning, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we who are his followers seek to walk in his light. As we gather this day, we acknowledge that we meet on the traditional territories of the First Nations people, the Kanawake and the Mohawk of the Haudenosaunee or the Iroquois Confederacy, with whom we are peoples of the Upper Canada Treaties. Together may we live with respect on this land and live in peace, justice, and tolerance with its carried peoples. As we come and worship this morning, let us stand for the call to worship. And I'm going to talk more than usual, but there is a part for you, so be waiting for it. I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." Today our voices join this ongoing heavenly hymn of praise. In Jesus' name, let us worship God. Let us pray. Mighty God, we do not yet see the glory you plan for all humankind, but in faith we do see Jesus. We thank you for the humility and holiness in which he lived and died. We praise you that he freed us from our sin, that he comforts and strengthens us through our struggles, and that he models the living out of your kingdom where all shall be one. For this, we now join with all creation and shout for joy. Holy, holy, holy are you, O Lord, this day and forevermore. Amen. As we enter in worship this morning, we come in praise as we sing hymn 425 in the Book of Praise. We praise you, O God, our Redeemer Creator, hymn 425, or as it appears before you on the screen. In spite of God's love for us and gift of love to us, we often act in destructive and hateful ways. We close our hearts to God and disobey God's law. Together, let us confess our sin as we say together the prayer as it appears before us. Holy God, Creator and lover of all that is, we confess to you that we have sinned. You formed the earth and filled it with good things to be shared, and yet we seek to exploit the world's resources and claim them as our own. Our misuse of the creation crowds out species and renders the land unlivable for all. Forgive us, we pray, and have mercy. Give us grace to change our ways, to make amends, and to work together for the healing of the world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, the good news of the gospel is that God is faithful and sure and ever more willing to forgive our sins than we are to confess them. Let us therefore rejoice, knowing that in Jesus Christ we have forgiveness of sins and the promise of life eternal, this day and forevermore. Amen. Once more, let us turn in the book of praise and sing hymn 304. We praise you, Creator, hymn 304. I saw some little people. Good morning, Will and Ainsley. Do you guys want to come up this morning? And do I just have the two? Nobody's hiding back there anywhere. You're the right size, Laura. Do you want to come up too? Good morning. How are you guys this morning? Excellent. Pleased to hear that. I'm going to take over the slides for a minute, Roy. I hope. Another new technology this morning. Do you know what that is? Does anybody know what that is? It's a teepee, that's right. If you're inside looking up, that's what it looks like. If you're outside, it looks like that, right? And it's a Native American home, or traveling home, RV. It was where people would travel, and they would be able to set up a place where they could shelter and sleep and gather together. And this morning we mark Indigenous Peoples Sunday, so I was reminded of this teepee. And a trip that I took. Now, this is a Cree teepee. If you ever go to Saskatchewan, and since everybody's traveling in Canada this year, if you're planning a trip to the prairies, and you end up in Saskatoon, just north of Saskatoon is Wanuskewin Heritage Park, which is a which is an interpretive center located on a traditional First Nations settlement, and they do wonderful programming there. So I encourage you all to go. And one of the things that you may well get to see while you're there is how they make a teepee. And it starts like that. And if you look really careful, you may recognize the assistant that's holding the rope there. I think she's actually wearing the exact same clothes this morning. But as we were there, Colleen helped. And as they build the teepee, they start with three poles that are lashed together, and then they add the other poles, putting the rope around to hold them all together. And the interesting thing about the building of the teepee and all of those posts, oh, that didn't turn out very well, did it? Is that for those who are watching from home, that they can see. For us, it's a little faint. But, sorry. I told you this is my first time doing this. But to each of the poles, there are 15 poles in all. 12 hold up the structure. 2 are for the flaps that open and close to allow fire to burn and smoke to get in and out. And each of the poles has a meaning. So the first one, even I can't see this very well. The first 3 poles are obedience, respect, and humility. And then the next 3 in the Cree tradition are happiness, love, and faith, kinship, cleanliness, thankfulness, sharing, strength, and good child rearing, and then hope, ultimate protection, and the one that controls the flaps for the wind. And each has their own special name. And so as we come, as we were hearing them speak of that, we were reminded of the values of our own Christian faith as well, which very much kind of fit in with the values that are embodied in each of the poles, and how when we live according to good values, when we live with happiness, honesty, happiness, love, faith, kinship, cleanliness, thanksgiving, obedience, respect, and humility, we each grow stronger in our love and in our faith. And so I just wanted to share that with you this morning as we prepare to do Indigenous Peoples Sunday up here. Now, you're going to go downstairs, and this morning downstairs we're doing Lydia. Right? Wonderful story of a wonderful woman of service. And King Mai and Laura are going downstairs with you for that. So with that, we'll walk slowly out of the worship space today. And I look forward to seeing you after worship this morning. So you guys can go. And Roy, I'm surrendering control back to you. Let us pray. Eternal God, in the reading of the scriptures, may your word be heard. In the meditations of our hearts, may your word be known. And in the faithfulness of our lives, may your word be shown. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The New Testament reading this morning is from the book of Matthew 6, verses 24 through 34. No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. And let your heavenly Father feed, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who seek all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. The responsive reading is Psalm 25, Prayer for Guidance and for Deliverance of David. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me.
Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me. If you are the God of my salvation, for you I wait all day long.
Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old.
Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me, for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. The epistle lesson is Revelation 14, 6 through 7, the messages of the three angels. Then I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. He said in a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water."
And our third reading is taken from the book of Leviticus, reading Leviticus chapter 25, verses 8 to 17, and then verse 23. Let us listen for God's word as it is given in the book of Leviticus, chapter 25, beginning at the 8th verse. Now you shall count off 7 weeks of years, 7 times 7 years, so that the period of 7 weeks of years gives 49 years. Then you shall have the trumpet sounded loud on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. You shall have the trumpet sounded throughout all your land. And you shall hallow the 50th year, and you shall proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. You shall return, every one of you, to your property and every one of you to your family. That 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. You shall not sow nor reap the aftergrowth, nor harvest the unpruned vines, for it is a jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You shall eat only what the field itself produces. In this year of jubilee, you shall return every one of you to your property. And when you make a sale to your neighbor or buy from your neighbor, you shall not cheat one another. When you buy from your neighbor, you shall pay only for the number of years since the jubilee. The seller shall charge you only for the remaining crop years. If the years are more, you shall increase the price. If the years are fewer, you shall diminish the price. For it is a certain number of harvests that are being sold to you. You shall not cheat one another, but you shall fear your God, for I am the Lord your God. The land shall not be sold in perpetuity, for the land is mine. With me you are but aliens and tenants. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you've been following the news over the last, 7, 8, maybe 10 days, you will have noted that there have been two stories of significance involving First Nations peoples. The first story had to do with a dispute between the Premier of Ontario, Doug Ford, and the Anishinaabe Oski National Grand Chief, Alvin Fidler, over support for the creation of special economic zones in the north of Ontario to facilitate a resource extraction. And the second, and a very similar story as it turned out, concerns legislation at the federal level to speed up nation-building projects and the concern that such legislation would sidestep environmental and consultative processes with First Nations. At the heart of both of these controversies lies the fundamental question of who owns the natural world? And how do we develop it in a way that respects both the environment and gives return to the people who live upon it? I wanted to say who owns the land, but since owning land seems more or less commonplace these days, I decided I'd use who owns the wind. It's slightly more difficult to capture than the land. So that's why the sermon title is Who Owns the Wind, but it's all a part of a piece. The questions have taken on more pressing significance, these particular questions about who owns the land, as we have sought to come to terms with the legacies of colonialism and settlement in Canada. At the heart of all of these debates is the question of the powerful versus the powerless, and who should benefit from the wealth of the land. And it is in the context of this reality that we turn this morning to the book of Leviticus and the Sabbath of Sabbaths, or the year of Jubilee. The concept of Sabbath lies at the very heart of creation and of the creation story from its very beginning. The first story of creation ends with those first couple of verses from Genesis chapter 2 that say this: Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done. And he rested on the Sabbath, on the seventh day, from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all of the work that he had done in creation. the seventh day of creation, was blessed and made holy because it was God's day of rest. And then later in Scripture, as we are all aware, in the Ten Commandments, God commands Moses to observe that same day of rest as a sign of the faithfulness of the people of God, making clear that it is not just humanity that rests, but all of creation rested. And then it gets amplified. Here in the book of Leviticus, this idea of Sabbath is extended and amplified to include a Sabbath of years, 1 year in every 7 years, and a Sabbath of Sabbaths, the 50th year, or the seventh year of the seventh years, if that makes sense. In those first 7 verses from the book of Leviticus chapter 25, the verses just preceding what we heard read this morning, the Sabbath of years is laid out. Verse 4 states, "But in the seventh year there shall be a Sabbath of complete rest for the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. You shall not sow your field or prune your vineyard." And then verse 6 continues, "You may eat what the land yields during the Sabbath, but to sow or to prune, to do the work that promotes and forces the land to grow, is forbidden." And then we get to what we've heard just now, verse 8 and following, and the year of Jubilee. And during the year of Jubilee, as we've just heard, everything that has worth is returned. Land that has been bought or sold is returned to its original owner. People who have sold themselves into slavery to pay off debts are freed and returned to their families. And with this idea of return to the land, God also cautions the people not to cheat one another. That the price of the land is not to be based on how much we can sell the land for, but on how many years it has been since the Jubilee, how long it will be before the next Jubilee, because you aren't buying the land. You are simply buying the harvest. Did you notice that sentence? It is the caution that the people are not owners of the land, but merely stewards of it. That in the end, the land is the Lord's, and it is God's to give to the tribes as God sees fit. As we read that closing verse, verse 23, "The land shall not be sold in perpetuity, for the land is mine, says the Lord. With me you are but aliens and tenants." The year of Jubilee is built upon the foundation of community justice. That the people of God will never be truly blessed until the least of amongst them finds their place. It is the proclamation that there are no mistakes in God's creation, that everyone who God has created has their place, and we must honor them. The idea of Jubilee is also the powerful reminder that we are not the masters of our own destinies. Regardless of how hard we work or how much wealth we might accumulate, none of it is possible without the God who gives us every good thing, and that our lives must always be oriented toward God and God's graciousness. That despite how hard you work, at the end of 50 years, everything goes back to its original owner. Imagine. And the concept of Jubilee ensures that there will never be a perpetual overclass and a perpetual underclass. For every 50 years, all debts are wiped clean, everything is returned, and equality is restored. Those are the articulations that we have read. Now, to be honest with you, there's a lot more about the year of Jubilee in chapter 25 of the book of Leviticus. And if you've got nothing else to do this afternoon and you're sitting in the lawn chair with a nice cold drink out under the tree, you can take your Bible and you can read the rest of the book of chapter 25 of the book of Leviticus, and you will learn a lot more about the book of about the year of Jubilee. But there's also something that it's kind of stated, but it's kind of not. There is a little cautionary in how the year of Jubilee is laid out for us in the book of Leviticus, and it is this. God's restorative justice is fleeting. Try as we may, we can never fully live according to God's justice. Pay attention. Note that after each year of Jubilee, after that seventh set of years when nothing happens for that 1 year, after that year of Jubilee, the world reverts to its old patterns of acquisitiveness and its exploitative nature. Now, once more, the land and the people become commodified and bought and sold until the next Sabbath comes along, and then the slate gets wiped clean again. Always, when we veer into the area of God's restorative justice and his stance against the economic power that seeks to ascribe a dollar value to all things, I'm indebted to the work of the Old Testament theologian Walter Brueggemann, who coincidentally died just earlier this month. Brueggemann speaks constantly about the call for economic justice in Scripture. And reflecting on these things in his book, Prophetic Imagination, he has written this. Compassion constitutes a radical form of criticism, for it announces that the hurt is to be taken seriously, that the hurt is not to be accepted as normal or natural, but that it is abnormal and an unacceptable condition of our humanness. Compassion is criticism against the structures of this world that hurt other people and seek to rob them of their humanity. As we celebrate Indigenous Peoples Sunday today, we acknowledge our failings as people of faith to be the bearers of hope and compassion to our First Nations brothers and sisters. That through the participation of the churches in residential schools and in other systems, through our unwillingness to call out for justice, that we've been part of a system that has created an other class. And we are slowly but surely seeking to work out what should be God's will in this. What would our world, our country look like if the idea of Jubilee was lived out? That the land was not owned or exploited, but stewarded and held in trust for the good of all. For community justice and the restoration of communities of all kinds. Now, there's also a footnote. It's a footnote whenever we speak about the year of Jubilee, and it is this. Some scholars believe that the year of Jubilee never existed. It was never realized. While it appears in Scripture as one of those commandments of God that God gives to his children, there is no evidence that it ever took place. There is no evidence that seeds were not sown, vineyards not pruned, that land was given back to the people who originally owned it, or the people who were bound in slavery because of economic circumstances were set free. But it's there. Like a stone in our shoe. It's there in Scripture. It is the vision that is just out of reach. It is the mirage in the desert that pushes you forward and gives a sense of relief and restoration. It is the inspiration that our world can be different. And we hear it. As we move through Scripture, we hear it. As the promises of God move from a man to a family, to a nation, to all who would believe in the name of Jesus Christ, we see it moving out like ripples of water on a puddle when a rock is dropped into it, until we arrive at the book of Revelation, which holds out to us the realization that all of the suffering of this world is ended, that the othering of this world is ended, that those who have power and those who are powerless doesn't matter anymore. Who are these? These are the ones whose robes have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. They are the people from every language and tribe and nation, all gathered together to sing praise before the throne of God. It is there, in those words, that the realization of that seed that God plants in Leviticus chapter 25 begins to take root. And it is a reminder for us that it is our work to tend the soil of God's great garden, that we might bring forth the blessings of justice and peace for all people. This is our work today and for the years to come, at least the next six, until there is Sabbath once more and we sing the praise of God. Thanks be to God for his goodness to us. Amen. Freely you have received, freely give. With joy and thanksgiving, let us present our tithes and offerings to the Lord. And before the prayer, a reminder for you all that we will remain standing after the prayer for the Apostles' Creed. So the ushers with the plates will retire, but we will remain standing. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O Lord God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts. With them, we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made. For the sake of him who gave himself for us, we give you thanks and praise. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Apostles' Creed is found on page 539 of the Book of Praise, or it will appear before you magically on the screens. We join our voices together with the Church of Jesus Christ across all time and space as we say these words together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And as you are able, I invite you to remain standing that we might sing the communion hymn, number 549, For the Bread Which You Have Broken. The words are in the book or as they appear before you on the screen. For the bread which you have broken, for the wine which you have poured, for the words which you have spoken, I give you thanks, O Lord. Jesus said, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If those who hear my voice open the door, I will come in and eat with them, and they with me. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who find refuge in God. And now let us hear the holy institution of the supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And after giving thanks to God, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. Drink you all of it. Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of our risen Lord until he comes again. With thanksgiving, let us offer to God our grateful praise as we join our voices in prayer." The great prayer of thanksgiving is one of the oldest prayers of the Christian church, and it has within it both opportunities for the congregation to respond together in unison, but also with words of response. And so we begin responsively in prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
Eternal God, holy and mighty, it is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, and to worship you in every place where your glory abides. You raised up Christ to rule over all creation, giving him the name which is above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. We praise you that, lifted in power, he lives and reigns forever in your glory, and so fulfills his promise to be with us always to the end of time. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with the heavenly choir and with all the faithful of every time and place who forever sing to the glory of your name, as we say together, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. You sent your only begotten, in whom your fullness dwells, to be for us the way, the truth, and the life. Revealing your love, Jesus taught those who would hear him, healed those who believed in him, received all who sought him, and lifted the burden of their sin. We glorify you for your great power and love at work in Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you have given birth to your church, delivered us from the slavery of sin and death, and made us a new people by water and the Spirit. Remembering all your mighty and merciful acts, we take this bread and this wine from the gifts that you have given to us and celebrate with joy the redemption won for us through Christ our Lord. Accept this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, as a living and holy offering of ourselves, that our lives may proclaim the one crucified and risen. Great is the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we make, break, and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Holy Spirit, unite us with the living Christ and with all who are baptized in his name, that we may be one in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. Help us, O God, to love as Christ has loved. Knowing our own weakness, may we stand with all who stumble. Sharing in his suffering, may we remember all who suffer. Held in his love, may we embrace all whom the world denies. Rejoicing in his forgiveness, may we forgive all who sin against us. Give us strength to serve you faithfully until the promised day of resurrection, when with the redeemed of all the ages we will feast with you at your table in glory. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, eternal God, now and forevermore. Amen. And as our Lord taught us, so we pray together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Because there is one loaf, we, many as we are one body, for it is one loaf of which we all partake. When we break this bread, is it not a sharing in the body of Christ? When we give thanks over the cup, is it not a sharing in the blood of Christ? These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
This cup is a new covenant sealed in the blood of Christ. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of him. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. You have fed us with the bread of life and renewed us for your service. Help us who have shared Christ's body and received his cup to be his faithful disciples, so that our daily living may be part of the life of your kingdom, and our love may be your love, reaching out into the world, into the life of the world, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our closing praise for this morning is number 719 in the Book of Praise, God in Great Love for Us, number 719.
God in great love for us lent us this planet,
and our world is in darkness space. So
now let us go out into the world, seeking to love and serve the Lord in all that we do. And as you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. this day and forevermore. Amen.